Isn't it wonderful to just worship the Lord and let Him come and touch you and change you? And you know, so many of us come in with burdens and all kinds of stuff. And you know, when you touch God's heart, He touches yours. You know, there's still the place where we as individuals like to hang out in the outer court instead of the holy place. Because your flesh is comfortable in the outer courts. Are you with me? You know, your flesh is comfortable in the outer court. Because see, there are three chambers of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And change happens in the most holy place. And in the outer courts, that's why you hear music called contemporary. Because it's actually temporary. There's only one place where you change, and that's in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Are you with me? So you must be careful the music you listen to. Listen, this I didn't plan on talking about this, but you know, there is accursed music out there that people listen to. It keeps them in the outer courts. Anything that keeps you in the outer courts, get rid of. Hello. You don't change in the outer court. You change in a most holy place. There's nothing wrong with listening to certain things. You know, you'd be driving a car or whatever, you know. You go into a place and whatever. But I'm telling you what, you're struggling. Outer court music isn't going to do nothing for you. That's why some people backslide, because they get comfortable with just listening to the message instead of worshiping the Lord. Are you with me? And only in the most holy place do you change. That's where you're in the outer courts. You begin to sow. You begin to offer yourself to the Lord. That's the sacrifice. The Bible says that there's a sacrifice of praise. People get comfortable. They start listening to the music. They, you know, the country music, the old rock and roll, the old whatever it is. And they think, yeah, I'm okay. Sure, the next thing you know, you're at the next bar. Or you're back right where you started from, or you're backslid. Why? Because it only took a seed from the devil to move you right out of position, and you allowed it. We are responsible and accountable for everything that we do on this side. Does everybody remember the story of Samson? Remember the dude with the long hair? God called him to deliver the children of Israel from bondage. And there was a powerful anointing on Samson, wasn't there? Amen. God anointed him. Samson fell into fornication and everything. The only thing that lifted the, well, what had happened, his fornication produced pride because nothing happened to him. So he thought he could still go on. See, because pride will always blind your discernment. So he just kept going. But God's concern was to rescue the people of Israel out of bondage. What released and removed the anointing from him was what he did in the natural realm by allowing his hair to get cut. And the anointing lifted, and that was it, done and over with. It was like it was almost like a priestly garment that wears the priestly garments. Remember, Aaron didn't die until the garments were taken off. Well, see, God made a covenant. Said the only thing that's going to remove the anointing from your life is if you let someone cut your hair. Now, there's no coincidence. No. I'm not superstitious. So there's sometimes things that we do in the natural realm that we don't even realize that will lift the anointing of God from your life. And sometimes God has something specific for an individual according to their calling. And let me tell you, when you touch those unclean things, you can expect the devil to get access to you. The Bible says, make no place for the devil. And one of the areas is music. Now, I'm not here to talk about music today. But there's just something in my spirit that's just saying to me to warn your people. And I'm telling you, you better stop listening to the garbage. Stop it right now. There are movies that you're watching that you got to stop right now. Places you call. Some of you are still communicating with some of your old friends that are out serving in the world, and you call them friend. And God calls them your enemy. So you're associating with God's enemies. Are you with me? While you're associating with God's enemies, those serpents and your so-called friends are biting you. And then people wonder why they struggle. They backslide. They do goofy things. Well, I don't know. I just thought, well. And people get, the discernment gets blinded. They go back into the natural. They go back into the flesh, into the soulish arena. Their feelings get stirred up by the things of past and associates. Remember, bad company corrupts what? Good habits. You are a holy people. You are called from out of the world. You have no right in the world. Are you with me? God has placed you into another place. It's specific. It's purposeful. And it's eternal. Praise God. Would you read verse 1 with me? In Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, and who may dwell in your holy hill? He who what? Walks uprightly and what? Works righteousness. Well, whose choice is that? And who what? Speaks the truth in his own heart. Man, some people just lie right to themselves. You know? Well, you got to understand, where did that lie to self come from? It came from a seed. It came from a corruptible seed and a voice of a stranger, didn't it? Are you with me? Do you hear it? Okay, verse 3, let's go. He who does not what? Backbite with his tongue, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is what? Despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. So in other words, you do not despise. That means you don't want to have any association with someone that does not have reverence to God. None. Anything that does not promote reverence to God, you don't want any association with. The only time that you associate with something like that is when God is sending you to rescue them. And believe me, he's not sending you to the bars or the crack houses. Hello. And he never sends you alone. Glory to God. Let's start, speak verse 4 again. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he what? Honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and what? Does not change. In other words, you don't change. You stay firm. You're standing. Why? Because you have a relationship. You know who you are in Christ. And you know who Christ is. There's a place where you will never be moved. Never. No matter what comes across your path, no matter what happens in your life, there's a place that you will never be moved. And that's where God wants us to be. In verse 5, it says, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall what? Never be moved. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there is a place where God is trying to bring us. And we call it walking in the Spirit. Amen? The Bible says that if he who's in the Spirit will have dominion on areas of the flesh. Because if you're led by the Spirit, your flesh is what? Crucified. Your desires and your passions. But there's something that we need to honor. And in this, we need to honor not only the price of Jesus made for me and you. See, by honoring the price that Jesus made for me and you, we obey him. Does everybody get that? In other words, we say, thank you. I honor the price you paid for me. There is a price that he paid for us, and in a place where we can be immovable if we stand in a place where not only do we honor God, but we reverence him and fear him. We respect him. There is a place where you have connection in another dimension. And he paid that price for me and you to have that connection in another dimension. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 5? Oh, hallelujah. First John chapter 5 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Would you all read it with me, please? 1 John chapter 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. This is he who what? Came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. You notice how he emphasized water and blood. He says, not just by water, but by what? Blood. Blood. He emphasized on the blood. This was Jesus, the Christ, who came not only by water, but he came by water and blood. And what does it say? And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. Heaven meaning spiritual realm, eternal realm. The what? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That is the tabernacle of God. In heaven was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Right? Now, if you were to take that and draw right down the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and draw a line underneath that, you would see that that is the heavenly realm. That is the tabernacle in the heaven. Amen? And then it says this, and it says, and there are three that bear witness on the earth, the what? Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. Amen. Now that's the tabernacle on earth. It says the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Are you with me? Now, what makes the connection between the spirit realm, heaven, and the natural realm is the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Amen. But there's only one way to have access to the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit to have access to you. Now, he is the Holy Spirit known as the Eternal Spirit. Amen? So there is a dimensional connection that you and I can attach to, where the Spirit has access to you and you have access to the Spirit and the things of eternity. In other words, the King's treasures. You know, Jesus said something very powerful. Go to John 14. John 14. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for what? Through me. So he said, listen, I am the tabernacle. And you got to look at this, Jesus saying, I am the way, truth, and life, meant that the tabernacle of God, the temple of God Almighty, had come into the natural realm. He walked and talked with us. He brought the presence of God. He brought the truth of God. He brought everything. All of eternity was held in that body. Now turn to John chapter 2. In verse 13. Jerusalem. Now we know that the Passover was a feast. And if anybody ever seen the Ten Commandments, and you know, Charlton Heston, or the final plague that God did to release the people was to kill all the firstborn. And he told his people, his people, he said, listen, take a lamb and at twilight kill it. And then take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintels of the door. And the spirit of death will pass through. If he sees the blood, I'll acknowledge the blood. Right? And it won't hurt you. It won't kill you. It won't take you. If the blood was not on the lintels of the door, they lost their firstborn. No matter what. So this was a feast at Egypt and protected the Jews from losing their firstborn. Now, and let's go to verse 14. And he found in the temple, now Jesus went to the temple and he said he found in the temple those who did what? Sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. Are you with me? That's verse 14. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he comes into this temple. And he starts throwing out all the thieves, all the money changers. Sometimes people, I've heard many people say, man, things have been worse since I accepted the Lord. That's right, because everything in you is being exposed. You've been harboring all those demons for a long time. They had free rent, room service, everything. Hello. And you thought it was just you. You know, you thought it was just you. Man, I just thought it was just me my whole life. No, those were your friends that were living in you. Hallelujah. In verse 15, would you read it with me? And when he had made a whip of cords, hallelujah, Jesus made a weapon. And he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money, the changers' money, and overturned the temples. Let me tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's going to turn over your temple, your tables. Amen? And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said, hold on a second. It's taken 46 years to build this place and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Because the tabernacle of heaven had come into the earth. And everything associated with the tabernacle was there. And they didn't get it, did they? And he was speaking to the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now again, I just want to relate that the Passover was a time when they were celebrating the sacrifice, weren't they? Now, here Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to show you something. You're celebrating the Passover by sacrificial of a lamb, but I'm telling you what, this temple is going to be raised in 3 days because I'm going to be the fulfillment of that feast that you've been celebrating. And you got to remember something. Jesus already went into the temple and preached and already said one word already, scripture saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. And of course, he shared about to bring to set the captives free and bring sight to the blind. So he was already going around fulfilling the scriptures. And people were getting really upset because here's this dude was going around saying that he was the Christ, that he was God and so forth. And he just got done saying that he was the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Now he's going around saying he's the tabernacle. Now he's saying he's fulfilling the feast of Passover. That he was the Passover and is the Passover. So, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was going on against Jesus. And you got to remember, those people at that period of time, everything involved around that area was involved around things of God. And that time, everything was associated with God. There was many beliefs of different gods, but it was very strong. And you had the problem with the Sanhedrin. You had the problem with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and every kind of sea you could see. It didn't matter because they were all fighting saying that they knew their God. And but Jesus was saying, no, really? You search the scriptures that testify of me thinking you're saved. But you won't even come after me. So you can be saved. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, the Passover, the blood was connected to a new place of fellowship and worship. Are you with me? The Passover, associated with the blood, was a connection to a new thing God was about to do. When Jesus said, this temple I will raise in 3 days, this temple represented something brand new, didn't it? He said, listen, this old temple's going. It's not going to be anything that's going to be worshipped by man's hands, is going to be worshipped by the price I paid. And that connection to the next dimension that's associated with us in the spirit realm is only through the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because God made his own blood. It was eternal blood, wasn't it? It was not a blood of a husband. It was blood of the true Father. So here is Jesus that was the temple of God Almighty. In other words, you have access to the Spirit, and the Spirit has access to you only through the eternal blood, not by anything else. Only through the eternal blood. And the eternal blood represents an area where, you know, when the Lord began to share with me a couple things last week about the blood, I saw, did you ever see a nuclear explosion when the light goes first? When Jesus died on the cross, in the realm, I saw this nuclear explosion. In other words, everything was opened. There was a whole new access. Everything was available. Everything. Nothing was no longer hidden from man anymore. Nothing was held back from man anymore. It was, and it just went beyond. And I'm telling you, it went beyond the area of just the earth. It went beyond the area of just planets. It went beyond the area of just Milky Ways and Snicker bars. I mean, I'm telling you, it went beyond the area. It just went eternally. It went everywhere. And that where God can now rescue not only from your past, but your present and your future. It was the blood that allows you the connection with the next dimension. Are you with me? Okay, good. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, but the devil always likes to do this with you. So you blew it, he wants to keep you right in this place, right? He doesn't want you. How many of y'all have been attacked by the devil and the things you did in your past? Yeah. Hello. And the thing is we believe him. Oh, you're right. Right? Oh, man. I'm telling you, that nuclear explosion wiped out everything. Everything. Wham! Gone. There wasn't anything. Everything got cooked. Nothing is there. The only person that remembers anything of your past is the devil. The Bible says that Jesus forgot it. He no longer remembers it. But it's amazing how the devil comes and accuses you of the things that you've done. Then you want to turn around and accuse somebody else because they offended you of the things that they've done in the past. Are you with me? You know, the devil always likes to bring your past up into the presence. He causes trouble. And the only reason why there's trouble in the present sometimes is because the things that you've let him bring from the past to the present. But I'm telling you, the blood wiped it all out. Gone. History. Kaput. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 18. Would you read it with me? Now all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God was reconciling the world, right? In Christ, the only way that he can reconcile the world. Now, what is the world? The world is a place where of habitation where his children are. So he was reconciling the world for his children to live in a safe place. Do you get it? What was he doing? He was taking, listen, when you came to Jesus, you were given authority in the spirit realm. See, through the blood of Christ, you have access to the Spirit, and the Spirit has access to you. That's why in the tabernacle, the blood always goes before the Spirit. So there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a blood, an eternal blood that God made his own blood, produced his own body, sent it to sacrifice so that everything could be reconciled according to the way he first established it. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go further. In verse 20, so then we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as through God were pleading through us, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be what? Reconciled. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. Now, he was reconciling the world, a place of habitation for his children. And of course, he was reconciling his children to himself through the eternal blood. Everyone say eternal blood. Anointed eternal blood. It wasn't just blood from a man. That was not blood from a man. That was blood from God. God's blood. Hello? Everybody say God's blood. Ooh. Go to Hebrews 10. The dimensional connection is through the blood. Why? Because the only way that you have access to the Spirit is through the blood. That's why the Bible says confess your sins. Why? That's why John the Baptist was baptizing in water. Because water was a representation of the remission of sin that was to come. See, the Old Testament could only cover sin. It could never remove it. That's why I'm sharing with you that when Jesus died on the cross, there was a nuclear explosion. Why? Because eternal blood had just touched everything. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 5, would you read it with me? Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So he prepared a body, didn't he? He prepared a body for him to act, to enter. Then I said, behold, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Why? Because it was eternal blood. Remember, God had to produce a body to produce eternal blood. And when that blood was sacrificed, when that body was sacrificed, it affected all. See, beyond this galaxy, beyond this universe, beyond everything, it's still going. That nuclear explosion of Jesus' sacrifice covered everything. It now opened a dimension for me and you to have communion with the Spirit. And the Spirit brings us to all things, doesn't he? Let's go a little further on this. Go to verse 11. Now he's going to talk about what the priests used to do in the Old Testament. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Now, how is his enemies going to be made his footstool? Through us, absolutely. Hallelujah. Yeah, so you got a job to do. You demon hunters, you. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are what? Being sanctified. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Why? Through the eternal blood. Everybody say eternal blood. Man, I pray you get this today. This is not just blood. This wasn't just blood from some human. This is blood that God Almighty produced. Eternal blood. This blood is the only thing that connects you to the dimension of eternity. Why? Because it connects you to the Spirit. Let's go further. This is good. Hallelujah. Verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the what? Covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will what? Remember no more. Well, who remembers them? Amen. And he loves to bring your stuff from the past into the present. Oh. Now there is now where there is remission of sin of these, there is no longer an offering for sin, is there? Amen? So please understand that this eternal blood, God prepared a body for the purpose of producing eternal blood of God in a human body. Only the anointed eternal blood allows access with the eternal Spirit to the dimension of everlasting realm. Got it? I want to repeat it. You got it, right? Go to Matthew 27. Come on, we just have a simple teaching today about the eternal blood. Matthew 27. You guys better lift your hands to heaven and get a drink or something, man. Hallelujah. Joy, joy, joy. Glory to God. Matthew 27. Is everybody there? Good. In verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, why was the veil torn? Yes, because access was granted. Amen? The moment Jesus died, that nuclear explosion hit. In fact, you know what? They had a little aftermath there. Here, we'll read about it. See, there was a nuclear explosion in the spirit realm, but some of it manifested in the natural realm. Keep going. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the what? And the what? The earth quaked, and the rocks were what? Split. I told you there was a little, you know, aftermath there. See, once Jesus died, that nuclear explosion ripped not only through the whole universe, but through all of eternity. Everything that could ever be, that ever was and never ever will be again is covered by the blood through Christ to those who are under his. That's why you are bought. See, you couldn't just be bought for the present. You had to be bought for the past, the present, and the future. You just weren't bought for now. You were bought. Eternity is a representation of past, present, and future. You were bought to rest, to remove the stuff from your past. Hello? To establish you in the present and prepare you for your future. That's what, see, so through the blood, the eternal blood allows you to have access to the eternal spirit, which brings you to everywhere. Nothing is limited but you. Nothing. See, we keep, you know, our carnal peanut brain prevents us from getting into these areas where God wants to expand us. See, you know, I mean, you stub your toe and we're, oh, God. You know, we get so caught up in now. The first thought that comes to someone usually is says, I better call a doctor. And then if you ever feel a kick in the butt, it's because the Holy Ghost just came and kicked you. What do you mean a doctor? Don't you know the doctor? I'll show you the doctor. Praise God. So let's go a little further. So we see that the aftermath of the eternal eruption established here in the natural realm where there was an earthquake and the rocks were split. I mean, it shook eternity. His blood, his death, shook eternal. And the graves were open. I'm telling you, it shook the eternal realm and shook the natural realm where the graves, the graves were open. They shook. Now, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep or were dead, they were raised. So they're all hanging out there, dead still. They weren't alive. But that shaking, that ripping through, that tearing of the veil. In other words, it was tearing the dimensional arena where now you and I could have access. Amen? Because remember, on that day, two things happened. Well, we know many things happened, but I'm going to tell you about two things. The first thing that happened was the veil was ripped. And I'm talking about not the natural veil. I'm talking about the dimensional veil. I'm talking about the area where people walk in a temporary realm and we're hoping about something eternal. Well, now eternity was granted. Not only was forgiveness granted, amen, but God had already granted you for eternity before he granted you forgiveness. Why? Because he wanted to reconcile you back. So the first thing that happened is the veil ripped. So we see that in the natural realm, the veil ripped in the temple, didn't it? Amen. In the Old Testament, they'd have to go in between the curtain. And only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And if he didn't do all the rituals, you heard the bell ring, ding, ding. He fell because he died. And they pulled him out by the rope that was around his ankle. See, but now you and I have access to all everything. So the first thing that happened was the veil that was ripped was an opening of dimensional so that you and I could have reconciliation. Are you with me? The second thing that happened was the Spirit of Christ was now granted. See, from the cross birthed the Spirit of Christ for me and you. The Spirit of God that came into the natural realm and put on the body. Why? Because the Trinity is a representation of the Christ. Now we see that the body for the blood was sacrificed, the official sacrifice for eternity one time. That's it, done and over with. Now you and I have access to the eternal realm and making a connection through the blood to the Spirit. So now the blood, that's why the Lord said you must be born again. You must be born of water through the blood and Spirit so the kingdom of God can be manifested. Do y'all get that? So you are washed by the blood. That's the first birth, the remission of sins. You accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The second baptism, or the second birth, is the birth in the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes and births you and the Spirit of Christ begins to live in you. And you now have access to all things and the treasures of the kingdom. Why? Because of the price that he paid through the eternal blood that granted you the access to the Spirit. So when you blow it, when you're out there and you're doing stuff and you make, and then you do goofy things, that's why your confession, because it's the ministry of the Spirit. Now you just say, Lord, forgive me. Now, forgive me, Lord, for doing this. So it's done and gone with, flushed, whoosh, gone. No longer. It's over with. The only one that's going to bring it back up is a sewer cleaner. And he's called the devil, the serpent. Right? He's got all kinds of garbage. So he's going to try and bring it back up. He's going to try and back up your tank. He'll bring it up. He'll go, hey, don't you remember this? And the Holy Ghost is going, don't take that. It's gone. Washed by the eternal blood. And the devil's going, no, come on. Don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember how you did this? Don't you remember how this does and how this person spoke to you, how you spoke to that person? Don't you remember these things? And as soon as you say, yes, he goes, hey, buddy, friend, how you doing? He comes over and he starts telling you about the other stuff. You know, the devil never shuts up. Ask somebody who's demonized. They don't get no rest. It's like a motor that never runs out of gas. Their mind's going, hallelujah. Now what happened? In verse 53. And coming out of the graves after what? His resurrection. Why? Because now life was granted. First of all, forgiveness was granted. And access, now life was granted. And what happened? They went up into the city and they appeared to many. All these dead bodies that were hanging out there for a couple of days. All of a sudden woke up. And went into the cities and started telling people about Jesus. Look, and what happened? And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, you betcha, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. They're mentioning a connection established by the shedding of the blood. Now, in the Old Testament, it was life for life, tooth for tooth, you know, eye for eye and stuff like that. So God was still fulfilling his law of the Old Testament, wasn't he? So he had to give a life for a life, didn't he? But he wanted to give a life that would be an eternal, one-time sacrifice. Never again have to sacrifice anything again. The only thing that you got to sacrifice is your pride. To say, Lord, forgive me for being a bonehead. Go to John 20. Eternal blood, not just blood. John 20. Is everybody there? John 20 and verse 11, please. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, and they went to the tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. They went to go prepare him. And in verse 11 it says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was him. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She supposing him to be the gardener. She was in the wrong garden. No. She supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. In other words, she was accusing the gardener for stealing the body. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is the saying of teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. In other words, do not touch me or do not cling to me. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. Now, that's powerful. Because now he's saying, listen, I just paid the price for reconciliation. He's your daddy too. This one that I've been talking about, saying this is my Father, he's now your Father. And I am now your brother. Of course, you know he's our God. And I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, I really believe that she could not touch him. First of all, Jesus was carrying his own blood to the eternal tabernacle. And we'll go there here in a second. Turn to Hebrews 9. And this is just my personal belief. I believe that if Mary would have touched him, she would have died. Why? Because you remember the dude that touched the Ark of the Covenant? Amen. He died, didn't he? I really believe if Mary would have touched him, she would have died. Because he had not brought the blood to the eternal covenant. Watch. I meant the eternal ark of the covenant, the holy of holies, where God is. Are you with me? In Hebrews chapter 9. Nothing could contaminate the blood then. Anybody touched their blood would die. In Hebrews 9, verse 19. Everybody there? Let's read it together. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wood, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. According to the law, almost all things were purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there was no remission. Now keep going. Therefore it was necessary that the copies, say the copies, the duplicates, of the things in heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into what? Heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us with what? The blood. The eternal blood. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered the most holy place every year with the blood of another, then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from the sin, for salvation. In other words, he's coming as king. Does everybody get it? So Jesus brought the blood of himself, the blood that was created by God, because Jesus was the vessel now. He was the carrier of the blood, went up into the Holy of Holies and offered the blood, which now allowed everyone access, which released. Now, when that blood was sent forth, now it released the Spirit of Christ. See, Jesus came as the Christ, which birthed the Spirit of Christ. For now, you and I could have the Spirit of Christ and walk in the same character as the Son of the Most High God. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to just go back a little bit just so we can cover some of this stuff. In Leviticus 17:11, the Bible says that the life, you can just write this down, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Everyone say, the life of the flesh was in the blood. Okay. So it's the blood that keeps you alive, doesn't it? Amen. It's the blood that keeps you alive. And I truly believe that when Adam and Eve were on this realm, that they did not have blood. They were eternal beings. Can you imagine, and I've shared this before, them tripping and cutting themselves and bleeding to death? Couldn't happen because they couldn't die. They were eternal beings. They talked to God face to face, didn't they? Amen. So when they sinned, because the life of their body was in the spirit, when they sinned, they lost the eternal life. So God had to sustain them in this realm to live by producing blood for them. Are you with me? So he had to do a life for a life. So when they sinned, the first thing they did was put fig leaves around them. But before they were removed from the garden, God said, hold on a second. And he took an animal and killed it. And the animal was a representation of life for life. Of course, they lost their eternal life, but he wanted to still reconcile them. So they put on skins of tunics from an animal. And then God sent them away and removed them from the eternal garden. Now, that was Genesis 3:20 and 21, which is talking about the tunics. Do you understand this? See, so now, that was just to sustain them there. It did not remove sin. It only covered it. Come on, say, that blood of the Old Testament did not remove sin. It only covered it. That's why man, when they died, did not go to heaven. They went to a place called paradise, which was in the earth. They could not have access to the other realm yet. Only if God allowed it. Enoch was one. Elijah was another. There was only a few. Those were called friends of the bridegroom. That's why, no, please get this. When John the Baptist came, it says he came in the spirit of what? Elijah. Why? Because, and he called him a friend of the what? Bridegroom. Didn't he? Why? Because he was already there. All the rest were not there. Where were they? They were in the ground. There was only a few that were in heaven with God. And he took them alive. They did not touch death. He couldn't have them with him if they touched death. Oh, glory. And Moses, look what happened with Moses. Moses touched death, didn't he? But where was Moses? In paradise. Do you understand that? That what did God do, though? He came and got him. Do you remember? When the angel of the Lord had to contend with Satan. And the angel of the Lord could not rebuke him because Satan's office. He still had to respect him. And he said, the Lord rebuked you and took Moses' body because Satan wanted Moses' body. And the Lord took Moses' body home. So then where did Moses end up? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Where was the rest of them? In paradise. But see, that veil ripped and opened up, which released all the captives that were now in paradise. They could not go to home. Only if God chose it. But he couldn't. Because there had to be a blood. But you got to remember something. What did the Lord say with Moses? And why did he do this with Moses? Because he said, listen, I speak to prophets in dreams and visions. But I speak to Moses face to face. Why? Because Moses was a friend of God. And only the friends of the bridegroom were home. Come on, you get it? So once the eternal blood was made in the natural realm by God Almighty, put into a body, sacrificed, that nuclear explosion ripped through eternity, allowed me and you access, forgiveness of past, present, and future, put the devil under his feet, and positioned us for us to have a connection in another dimension of eternity, guided by the eternal spirit. And nothing is withheld from you but what you reject. You are the only one that allows the limitations of what God can do for you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Look at Revelation 1. Go here. Revelation chapter 1. Thank you, Daddy. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 5, the eternal blood. Dimensional connection is through the eternal blood. See, so when you say the blood of Jesus, the Father acknowledges it. That's why he said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. He said, this is my son, hear him. Look here, there's something else that's powerful. You know why? Because blood has a voice. When Cain and Abel, remember? Remember when he died and he said, where's your brother? He said, well, I don't know. He said, well, I heard the voice of his blood. I heard the voice of his what? Blood, because see, blood is a voice. Oh, glory. In Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us what? kings and priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now listen, you could not be a king, you cannot be an eternal king or an eternal priest, but not washed, unless you were washed by eternal blood. Or just be a present thing. Amen? In Revelation 12. See, so God has now placed you and positioned you to be priests and king. Why? To offer up the sacrifices of praise and to take dominion as kingship, co-laboring with the King of Glory, led by the Eternal Spirit, access to everything that the King has for you to sustain and live a productive life as a king on this earth. Everything has been done. When Jesus said it was finished, let me tell you something, it was a lot more than you realize what was finished. It didn't mean that he just finished what he finished. No, man, he finished for everything for you to be finished. Hello? It's finished. Oh, it's finished. Oh, you mean Jesus finished? No. No. When he said it's finished, he meant eternally finished. Past, present, and future. Eternally. Glory. Does that mean we got to come to church Friday? Yes, it does. It's finished, but we ain't finished. Everything's been finished for you, right? But now we got to walk the process out. Come on, it's training for reigning. You just... Just because you've been labeled king doesn't mean you're not a walk like one yet. Amen. Some of us sure don't know. We're still looking, learning how to walk in royalty. Amen. Where that character by the Spirit of Christ becomes more and more established and overtaking us. How many of y'all want to be possessed by the Spirit of Christ? Amen. Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. In Revelation 12, in verse 11, somewhere around there, I believe. Revelation 12. Okay, here it is. Go to verse 10. Oh, good. Praise God. Come on, everybody read it. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, which is the devil, right? Okay, he's been cast down. And verse 11. And they what? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Now, if you're in this room today, are you in this room today? It's not a dream, right? Better pinch yourself. That means God wants this specific message imparted in you, so that you can stop the foolishness of your past. Get in position and start brand new. See, the blood always brings things brand new. So the only thing that looks old is your sin. But see, it's really not there. It's only the image that the devil has placed that it's still there. See, we've got to go on now. You can't go back. Paul said something very powerful. He said, man, I counted all his dung. Told you the devil was a sewer collector. He said, called all his dung, his past, all his stuff. From everything that he learned, even all of his religious stuff, he called it all crap. Don't panic, all right? My God, he sinned! No, I didn't. That's what they call it. Everything from the past is nothing but garbage. Amen? It's time to get forward. It's time to stop letting the devil bring your garbage to the present. You know, loose yourself. Let it go. Flush it. God does not see it. Only the devil does. That eternal blood has washed everything, past, present, and future. Everything. Everything. I don't care what has happened in your childhood. Let it go. I don't care what's happened at your job. Let it go. I don't care what mommy and daddy's done with you. You have a choice to let it go. I don't care what debts or what is going on. Whatever your spouse has done, let it go. Whatever you've done to your spouse, repent. Then let it go. Amen? All those areas where there's been manipulation and lying and all this garbage, let it go. You know, one of the hardest things for believers is to really accept that they're forgiven. They have a hard time to truly accept. But I'm telling you, that nuclear explosion that went off, that split the rocks, that opened the graves, brought bodies to the surface, and brought new life by the Spirit of Christ to each and every one is available for everyone in this room. You have the final say of what you choose to do. Even Moses said to his people, he said, you choose this day who you serve. You choose this day blessing or cursing. You choose this day. That's all God is asking us for, some cooperation. Some cooperation and obedience and acceptance. His love for me and you is unexplainable. It's unexplainable. There are no words that it can express God's love, except for the only way he could express his love is by giving of himself. You know, he expressed it by giving of himself because his love is just so overwhelming. Listen, we're all here today. God has allowed us to still live. The devil's been trying to kill each and every one of you in this room for a long time. From the moment that you were birthed and conceived in your mother's womb, he tried to kill your mother. He's been after you a long time. Why? Because he fears you. The devil fears you. But the first thing he wants to do is put fear in you so you fear him, but actually he fears you. Because Satan's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. And fear causes people to be controlled. Hello. Fear causes people to be controlled. Look at the children that are brought up in the Muslim and so forth. They're brought up in fear. My wife came back from Israel. She said, you should see that the children that are, and so forth, you can just sense the demonic activity and the hatred. And the hatred between the Jew and the Arabs and so forth. And they're brought up because in that area of hatred, hatred is associated with fear. See, when you hate someone so much, you fear them. Because you fear what they could do. Do you get it? And that puts a person that's in hatred under control of darkness. And you never know what they're going to do. But I'm telling you, the eternal blood has washed everything away. Now, Jesus said something very powerful because he told the woman that sinned. He said, okay, go. I forgive you your sins, but go and sin no more for a worse thing come upon you. So we do have a choice, don't we? Of doing the right thing. So we repent. We ask God for forgiveness. Now, repent means to change your mind. You just don't repent and do the same thing over and over. Amen? You change your mind. You make a choice to change. And you get into the place where you accept the blood sacrifice that you were bought for. You were bought. Say, I'm bought. It's no longer my life, but His life. And I give Him all my worries, my fears, and my troubles. I'm under lifetime warranty. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Praise God. Now give the Lord a mighty hand.